prayer of thanks has been requested on behalf of Savannah, the baby daughter of Bethany Lutheran College basketball coach Tiffany Young-Clocksim and her husband David. Little Savannah has undergone several surgeries, corrective surgeries, and we are told she is recovering nicely today. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts of medicine and of healing, and for looking with favor on this, your little lamb, Savannah. Bless her with renewed strength and health that she may grow up to serve you, and bless her family and all of us with the strong faith that comes from knowing your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And in Jesus' name, Christian friends, you and I are going to be surprised by whom we meet in heaven. We'll see some people there we knew in our lives and we'll think, how did you get here? And we'll see some others we knew in our lives and we'll think, that guy doesn't deserve to be here. Now, I know that such unkind thoughts will not occur to us in heaven, but the point of our reading this morning is this, that when we view other people, we should shift from our earthly perspective, which I just illustrated, to a heavenly perspective, which Jesus shows us in this reading. Our reading is this single verse from St. Matthew chapter 8, and it's printed in your worship folder, but to understand its point, we need to be reminded of the context in which Jesus speaks these words. Jesus and his disciples are in Galilee near Capernaum when here comes a request from a Roman centurion of all people, a military officer of the occupying army. This request was on behalf of the centurion's servant who was seriously ill and in great pain because of a paralysis. And the request was for healing, but it was oddly framed. Just as Jesus is about to start out for this centurion's house to heal this servant, he heard the framing of this request. This mid-level Roman army officer knew all about authority. Like anyone in any army, he lived with authority, giving orders that were obeyed and taking orders that he obeyed. And while he knew about military authority, this man believed that Jesus had the ultimate spiritual authority. And so I read from verse 7, Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I tell my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." And here's the words of our reading. "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, if those disciples were anything like I am, they were astonished at what Jesus said. Looking at this centurion from our earthly perspective, they would have no reason to like him. Not even a Jew, but a despised Roman, one of the oppressors, part of the Roman establishment of brutality. Him in heaven, sitting next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from their earthly perspective, they would have been surprised and shocked to see him in heaven. Jesus said to them, "He's in heaven." Think of all the reasons we have for not liking people, Almost all of us don't like some people. You wouldn't like a person very much who told you, go away, I don't want to have anything to do with you, I don't want you around. You wouldn't like a person very much who, when you helped them, didn't even say thank you. You wouldn't like a person very much who made it plain that you are of little importance to them. You wouldn't like a person very much who planned important activities and left you out. You wouldn't like a person very much who was, you knew, leading a sinful life. We have lots of reasons like this for not liking people. Does God like you? Consider each of the reasons I just listed for us not liking somebody and how often we do these things to God. How often do we tell God, go away, I don't want you around while I do this favorite sin of mine. How often, how little gratitude we show in the face of all that God has done for us. How often do we make it seem like God is of little importance in our lives? How often do we plan important events and leave God out? And then there's that part about leading the sinful life. Even the good things that may seem to others that I do don't commend me to God. When I give money to church, God sees my reluctance and my selfishness so that it's far less than what it should be. When I'm of service to others, God sees the pride that it builds up in me, like I'm really something special. When I submit to God's will, God sees the traces of resentment in my heart. There's nothing in me or in you that should make God like us. Why should He save us from the condemnation that we deserve? Fortunately, God doesn't deal with us on a like basis. He chooses to deal with us on the basis of His love. That is His commitment to do good for those, even though they are thoroughly unlikable. In the secular world, we hear much of the phrase, the dignity of every individual. And that's an important and worthy recognition. But the secular world doesn't realize from where that dignity of the individual comes. It comes from what Jesus has done. For all people, for every single individual, Jesus established the worth and value of every individual because the holy blood of the Son of God was poured out on the cross to pay for all the unlikableness, yeah, let's call them sins, of everyone in the whole world. And those who believe this, who have faith in Jesus, whether from east or west, whatever culture, whatever race, whatever nationality, whatever denomination, yes, even whatever Lutheran synod, whether we like them or not, or think they deserve it or not, those who have faith in Jesus will sit down at the feast in heaven. Can we take this heavenly rather than earthly perspective when we view other people? Can we, as Jesus, work from love and not like? Would we go out of our way for a friend? Of course we would. We like them. Would we go out of our way for somebody we didn't like? For a stranger? For somebody who doesn't deserve it? Everyone was died for by Jesus. Anyone might be in heaven with us. From an earthly perspective, there is one person who we should be very surprised to see in heaven. That's ourself. None of us deserves to be there. But from a heavenly perspective, trusting in Jesus' own words, we know some who will be there for sure. In this reading, we know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will be there. We know there's a thief who was dying on the cross next to Jesus who will be there. And trusting in Jesus' own words, also you and I. And that's for sure. And looking at us as He does through Jesus' holy blood, God's face smiles upon us. And for Jesus' sake, yes, he even likes us. Thanks be to God. Let's continue by rising and singing the remaining stanzas of the hymn.